now. 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Renner on the play action, looking deep. Going to go to Highsmith, leaping for the touchdown. What a grab!
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Still on his feet at the 30. Bernard is going to score. Oh, my goodness, what a run by Gio Bernard. The wide receiver going to throw it. The Tar Heels pick it off. Trey Boston.
The Good Sports is brought to you by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, your one-stop insurance destination right here in the southern part of heaven. Let the Seagrove's Insurance Agency take care of you. Seagrovesinsurance.com. Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage.
Heels with the lead. Another handoff to Bernard. He's into the secondary. Goodbye.
The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Art C. Will the open date help or hurt Carolina today against schizoid rambling wreck of Georgia Tech?
This is Bob Lee. Today is homecoming at UNC. Who cares?
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it is time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Ron Stutz. Today's Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee is coming to you live from Southern Season here at University Mall as we count down to the Tar Heels game with Georgia Tech. Good morning, Good Sports. What do you think?
Well, Ron and Bob Lee, I'm really looking forward to our special guest today, legendary UNC alumnus and sports writer Curry Kirkpatrick will be with us in the second segment. But first, I'm more excited to find out if Larry Fedora's Tar Heels can stay unbeaten at home and on a high from their incredible win over State and keep rolling toward that elusive nine-win season, something we haven't had at Carolina since 1997. That's 15 years ago and about 12 coaches ago.
Art, speaking of many years ago, Curry Kirkpatrick, wasn't he Billy Arthur's backup, his mic man during the choo-choo era?
That was one of many things that he was. And we'll get to ask him personally about that.
He goes back almost as far as you guys
think
do.
So? He just ran down the halls. I don't know whether we're going to get to ask him or not.
Well, Carolina and Georgia Tech coming up today. It's going to be an exciting game, and I always look forward to getting together with you guys to see what you have to say about the game.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about 2 weeks ago, even though we've had a week off.
Oh, we're going to talk a lot about 2 weeks ago.
I'm still titillating over that one.
And, oh, my gosh, a titillating Art Chansky.
And in my 40-some years of watching football at Keenan Stadium, that was the most magical moment ever. And not only the punt return, but the way the whole thing set up, the way they played so smugly, they could have put us away, I believe. But they sat on the ball, gave us the opportunity. We came back, tied the game after 11 straight possessions with no scoring in the second and third quarter. 11 straight possessions going zippo. We really had a nice comeback, tied the game, and then the dump cuff from State kicked it right to Gio with 30 seconds to go.
I watched the game, as you did, as Ron did, and apparently about 175,000 people are now claiming they were in Keenan Stadium when that happened. So we had a lot of good, faithful Tar Heels with us. The punt return basically wiped out everything before then, but there were a couple of runs from scrimmage that Gio had in the drive down that led to the field goal that they were highlights right themselves. I mean, he just bounces off people. Yards after contact are incredible. I mean, I was sitting there in the Letterman's Lounge, and I was going nuts. And I'm like you. I've seen a lot of Carolina sports over the years. And one thing that you just mentioned, since, 1974, every great moment in Carolina sports is measured against Walter Davis, 8-point down, 17 seconds to go. And this match, did Michael hitting the jumper against Georgetown, blah, 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 blah. This match did Art.
Well, first of all, it's up to 400,000 people who now claim they're in Carmichael that
absolutely,
day.
Absolutely, at least.
That Walt hit the bank.
It's sort of like Woodstock. If everybody had been at Woodstock who say they were at Woodstock, they wouldn't have been able to fit them all into the entire state.
Well, and the other one was Babe Ruth calling a shot against Charlie Root and Wrigley Field.
Well, you're the only one old enough to remember.
Well, Curry will know that. He was there.
Look, I think a moment has to have more than a great play. You know, first of all, like when Amos Lawrence ran and scored that last touchdown against Duke in Dick Crum's first season, nobody was at the stadium. So that really, you have to have everything. You have to have the atmosphere. You have to have the rivalry game like the Walter shot. And then this game against State, I mean, Jones Angel said it best all during the week. It was a cathartic moment for Carolina. We had had tough going off the field, obviously, the last 2 years. We had lost to these whatever
guys
for the last 5 years in a row. And then it looked like we were going to lose again because they took control of the game, and they actually should have won by continuing to attack our secondary, which is, you know, isn't very good. But they were comfortable with a 10-point lead, let us get back in the game, and then really managed the clock very poorly in the fourth quarter. And then punted it right to Gio. So you add all that up, and you have a magic punt return like that, and then a radio call by Jones Angel in his second year has now, I don't know if he's made everybody forget everything that Woody said, but, I mean, that call is right up there with anything that Woody said.
That's Appalachian State beating Michigan, if you remember that announcer's call on that one.
I mean, it was spectacular. The chrome helmets and all of that stuff, you know, Larry, we're in navy blue during the game. That game, I'm glad they won for another reason. I mean, remember when Butch wore navy blue and we lost and how much heat he got during that time? So, you know, when a coach pulls out something like that, the team better win, because Carolina fans, you know, they're so in love with that light blue that they resist any kind of change.
Well, you know the story, and I wrote it in my column afterwards called Move Over Choo Choo, which has an obvious connotation to that. But when I saw the helmets, I didn't know they were doing them either, and they came out, and of course the captains walk out on the field wearing the white helmets, and then they look at the back and they've got the other ones, and what in the heck's going on? I didn't care for them. I'm a traditionalist. I don't like anything that looks like Phil Knight had his hand in it, which
I
actually
love those
didn't.
Things. I thought they were awesome.
You're the only man I've heard say that. It's a girl thing that liked those helmets.
Nah,
we'll discuss that at another time.
I'm secure enough in my masculinity to just
well,
say I love those
helmets. Halfway, the first quarter, and right at the end of the first quarter with 10 seconds to go, Jones says, at this rate, we're going to score 100 because we had 25 points. Well, that was a jinx right there. Don't ever say that, Jones. But then about halfway through the second quarter, I'm in the choo-choo lounge with the Letterman's Lounge, and Bubba comes in. He looks right at me, and he says, you don't like them, do you? And he's talking about the helmets, because I love the white helmets, and I made a big deal about it. And I said, no, and if we win, don't tell me they're going to become a good luck charm and you're going to keep them forever. And he assured me they won't. I think he's backed off on that assurance.
Well, they're not, because it was a one-time thing, because it wasn't in the budget. You know, those helmets cost probably $300 a piece.
$500
a piece? Okay.
For Bubba.
Right, so it wasn't in the budget, so they had to make a deal with Learfield that Learfield would front some of the upfront money, and then they would sell the helmets afterwards and get the money back. And that's exactly what they did.
Wow.
Now, $750 per helmet, they sold over 100 of them. And who's the sucker out there who really thinks he got Gio's helmet? Tell me that. There's somebody out here. There's
I think there are 100 suckers.
There's about 50 guys out there walking around with that helmet saying, hey, this is Gio's helmet, man. I got Gio's helmet.
For $750, let them say it.
but they all made it. They all got sold, and they made their money back. So it is a one-time thing.
And
we'll never see it again.
The other thing.
We'll see something else, but we won't see that.
That was our sixth win, so now we are officially bowl ineligible, aren't we?
Exactly. So that leads me to the probation bowl standings of the week. The probation bowl standings, of course, led by undefeated Ohio State, 10-0. Central Florida, you know, based on George O'Leary's resume, mm-hmm. has sneaked into second place with 7-2 record, and UNC and Penn State is 6-3. So when we go into the bowl probation playoffs, the first seed will play the fourth seed, and the second seed will play the third seed, and then we'll have the bowl probation championship game. So,
and of course, we'll get to the where is Butch going to go sweepstakes later on in the show.
We'll get to that one, but it's a great day in Chapel Hill. If the Tar Heels can win today, win at Virginia, and then also win the home finale against Maryland, they'll finish 9-3. Which, after everything we've been through, and after everything Fedora inherited, that'll be a phenomenal start, and he'll be off and running.
I think it's great. Bonnie and I were talking about it in the earlier hour. I think what Larry Fedora has done is nothing short of remarkable. Look, we've lost three by what? 6 points total, 8 points total?
Nine total points.
One play in each of those games, and we win it.
Right.
Yes, it was a bad night in the Wally, but
and his best player missed two of those games.
Put Gio in, we easily beat Wake. Put Gio in, maybe we beat Louisville, but that was an odd kind of game, and that's just an anomaly game. And, of course, Gio was there at the Wally, but those things happen. And I think he's done a fantastic job. The energy that he's brought, the enthusiasm, and he's tough. This is a guy in fedora that coaches every play. He doesn't take it off and take the headset off with 5 minutes to go. And, you know, he's right in there fighting the whole game. And the point that Jones made in some of his comments, that the guys like Gio Bernard, that's a high-quality kid. Forget that he's an incredible running back. He's a high-quality kid. Jonathan Cooper. And you know, Carolina needed not only a good product on the field, but a good product off the field. And Larry Fedora, along with Bubba Cunningham, have helped deliver that.
Well, I remember the first press conference, not the Larry's introductory press conference, but the first one he held after that, when he introduced Blake Anderson and Dish and Koenig and all those guys. They had, all the coaches were in concert with two things. They said two things. We're going to win with great players on the field and good kids off the field. That's what they said. And then the coaches all said, hey, we're here together. There's no learning curve. We've all played for, we've all worked for Larry. And there's no reason in the world that we can't hit the ground running. And when you think about that, none of Carolina's last three coaches came with a coaching staff. And it took them a while to get it together, and we made some bad hires. And that led to what was 15 years of really very up-and-down football at Carolina.
A very quick acclamation time to Carolina football and to Chapel Hill in general. I'm Ron Stutz along with Art C. and Bob Lee. This is the Good Sports on WCHL. Our pregame coverage is always brought to you by the Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency. We'll be back. We have a special guest. Curry Kirkpatrick is here. All of that coming up. Carolina and Georgia Tech on WCHL. We're broadcasting live at Southern Season University Mall. Back in a moment.
Have you been looking for acupuncture, massage, nutrition advice, yoga therapy, guided imagery, hypnosis, and expert physicians who understand how you can use these services to benefit your health and your life? Come to Duke Integrative Primary Care. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill. Open to all and now accepting insurance.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the playing field, teamwork is what you need to tackle any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home field advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. As always, thanks for your business.
Is your free checking account costing you money? If you are required to maintain an average balance or inconvenienced by limited transactions, you should visit Harrington Bank. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Experience true community banking, where everyone knows your name and it doesn't cost you to bank with us. To learn more, visit one of our three convenient locations in Southern Village, Farrington Road, or Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. Last year, we started serving chewy ice with our fountain drinks. It's a softer ice, perfect for chewing and enjoying long after your drink is gone. Chewy ice cost us a bit more to serve, but it's become a customer favorite and is something you've got to try. So stop by any of our four area locations, including Chapel Hill North and Glen Lennox, and get a 79-cent fountain drink with chewy ice today. It's a little thing that makes a big difference at Cruiser's.
Cruisers, good to go.
Bauman the punter, the long snapper is Scott Thompson for NC State. Bernard is back to return. He's set up at the 36. 35, 35, 30 seconds left. Tar Heels do set up the return. Great kick by Bauman. Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is, Gio. He's going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? He can do it all.
I think I could listen to that all the rest of my life and never get tired of it.
Right, this is what we want to do. First of all, we want to have an imitation. See if you can match Jones Angel saying, "Are you kidding me? He can do it all." Go give it your shot.
I'm not going to do that, man. There's no way.
You can give it your shot.
I was yelling as loud as Jones at the time, so I.
I can do it. I can do it.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? The kid can do it all.
I complimented Rick Steinbacher this week on remaining subdued while Jones was making that play-by-play call. He said, "Believe me, I was not subdued. I was jumping up and down, but I was just trying to be quiet."
Subdued in that moment. You don't belong in sports.
He
was jumping up and down. Didn't you see the press box lilting up there?
I don't know. Rick's not as big as he used to be. But listen, I know you guys want to talk about TOB before we get to the next
episode. I have a point. I was driving over here, and I heard you two guys throw me under the bus for the 40-point prediction. I mean, that might have been my greatest prediction of all time. Even Jim Hebner.
The only correct one, right?
No. But even Jim Hebner sent me an email, said, "Hey, you picked it. They had to have 40.
Well, I tried to defend you. I had a lot of people calling me, emailing me, texting me for the first 24 hours after the game and saying, "Didn't you guys say the first team to get to 40 wins? Congratulations, Bob Lee." I tried. I said, no, it was Art. And they said, "Oh, you're kidding me. Not Chansky. Either you or Stutz said it." Finally, I just gave in and said, "Yeah, thanks a lot."
And it wasn't the first guy to 40. I said Carolina had to have 40 to win. At one point, I thought they were going to win the game. I even texted somebody. I said, "We're going to win the game 39-38 because the way the score was rolling at that time." But they got 40.
Well, I think, Ron, we do have to bow down and give Arthur credit for that one.
Yeah, I got to be
kiss my Nikes.
I got to be totally honest here. I was sitting in the stands watching that last play. State was getting ready to punt the ball away, and I turned to my wife and said, "Art said Carolina was going to have 40 points to win this one. Let's see what happens." And then the ball goes to Gio. He runs it all the way back for the touchdown. I said, "Art was right." That was not the first thing I said, but, you know, I said that in there somewhere. But T.O.B., you guys wanted to talk about him, right?
No, I don't want to talk about him anymore. I just want to say that he was so smug in the second half of that game, and now he's in trouble with his athletic director. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't beat Wake Forest today, I think he's, like Gio last week, I think he's going, gone.
The Brickyard will turn out their anti-Chansky effigy burning.
They want him to go, too. Hey, one last thing before we go to our special guest. You know, it's really an interesting thing. Who's the best team in the ACC Coastal?
Carolina.
Who could win the ACC Coastal with a 6-2 record?
Carolina.
Who could tie Carolina with a 6-2 record in the Coastal? Miami. And who would win that tiebreaker because they beat them in
head-to-head?
Yeah, Carolina.
Yep.
Then what about if Miami, so Carolina can't go to the ACC championship game, what about if Miami self-imposes again a postseason ban because of the Neville Shapiro guy who's
in jail?
Does this
lead to Duke playing in the championship?
Yes. What I'm saying is if that happens, a four-loss team could represent the ACC in the championship.
Right, now, my question, you guys have never answered this in 2 weeks. If we mythically win the mythical Coastal Championship, which we're ineligible for, do we get to hang a banner beside that Helms banner in the Smith Center?
Bubba has said that you are in charge of that. He doesn't want anything to do with it, but he says Bob Lee's in charge of it.
A mythical ineligible championship beside the Helms banner would be appropriate.
And in the Atlantic Division, FSU eked it out in Blacksburg on Thursday night, and now the Noles must win at Maryland to win the Atlantic, and Clemson will take care of the Terps today, and they'll take care of State next week. And the ACC championship game will be between Florida State and Duke, and we'll have about 30,000 people there.
You know, other than Carolina fans, who was happiest when T.O.B. did not say, "Whatever you do, don't kick it to Gio"? Had to be Ron Cherry, because all of Wolfpack Nation was ready to blame him because they always blame the referee, and Jim Knight wasn't around. So they were going to blame Ron Cherry until T.O.B. said, "Just go ahead and kick the ball, those 26, whatever." And then Ron Cherry just sort of dissolved into blackness, and T.O.B. became the current fire fill in the blank coach.com at NC State that goes all the way back to Larry Monteith and Todd Turner.
Well, we have a guy with us who's seen so many of these games on the field and on the hardwood, great wins, excruciating losses, difficult times, but also he's remained an unbelievable Tar Heel fan through the years. He's Kirk Kirkpatrick, legendary Tar Heel alumnus, former Sports Illustrated, Mojo Man, and CBS TV, ESPN, everything. Now he's enjoying his semi-retirement by, you know, hey, how was the Who last night in Greensboro?
All right.
How
all
was
right.
it?
They're still alive, which I am as well. But I resent all these intros. I mean, I don't mind the Billy Arthur reference. By the way, I knew Billy Arthur's daughter, who was also a cheerleader.
Annis.
Who I interviewed
she
one
was
time.
Our favorite.
Exactly. But I'm also the guy that did get Gio's helmet, and you call me a sucker? Oh, I got that helmet. I'm the one. What's the deal? I come here and I get roasted, and I got the helmet.
I love those helmets, don't you?
Not because you got it, because you paid $750 for it,
well,
sucker.
Wait a minute.
Okay, wait a minute.
Before we bring this up to the modern era, if we're longer, we're going to stay back in the old days. I got a question for you, Curry. You're sitting here with the preppy sweater tied around your neck in typical Kirkpatrick fashion. You got electric blue pants on. I've got a question.
I thought he was Alexander Julian when he first walked up.
No, I got a
roll
question.
Roll the TV cameras.
Go back to the late 60s, early 70s.
I knew Alexander Julian's father.
Who had the spiffier clothes closet, you or the late John Lotz?
No, I'm not in John Lotz category. No.
John Lotz not in the category
all by
himself.
I talked to Danny this week, Danny Lotz, and he agreed you're not in John Lotz's category when it came to sartorial excellence. But you were number two to Lotz.
I just threw these blue jeans on. I was trying to get close to a Carolina blue, but
a little dukish blue.
I think that's more dukish blue there.
I think those are actually electric blue.
Hey, look, on the Curry Kirkpatrick tour that's ongoing right now, you've seen a lot of ACC football, but tell us about what you saw in Baton Rouge last Saturday night.
Oh, well, I was at the Alabama-LSU game on Saturday night. Of course, a game in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, Death Valley, the original Death Valley.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Is something, it's just something to behold.
Clemson, we all kind of Clemson Life Support Valley. That's what we are.
But I've never seen a stadium so disconsolate after Alabama scored in the last minute. I mean, they thought they had the game won. The entire LSU student section was chanting a word I can't use, followed by Saban.
Let's use a sentiment. Let's say screw Saban.
It was Saban, right? Blank you Saban, blank you Saban for about 20 minutes straight until Alabama came back in the last minute, and it was just crushing blow. Crushed all of America, actually. Somebody pointed out the other day it was the one play of the football season that just devastated the entire college football fandom, I think, across the country, except for Alabama.
Exactly, that great screenplay against the Blitz.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've all been there. I hope you've been there. I've been there. Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
I've been there.
Did they throw the apples out of the end zone anymore? Are they allowed to do that?
No, anymore? I don't
believe, not the apples, the oranges.
But the Alabama million-dollar, trillion-dollar band or whatever it's called that played at halftime with about 90 girls throwing rifles in the air, the entire LSU student section booed the band the entire halftime.
How about they still parade Mike around in his cage?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's there.
Mike in the cage is still there.
10th Mike, I think.
Well, now what you've got, this is not your or your daddy's ACC anymore. Now you've got a 12-team ACC, soon to be 14, maybe be 16, and maybe 15 if Notre Dame plays football here one year. But tell us about what you think of the expanded ACC. They did it for football. It's amazing to me as the ACC expanded for football and in the process managed to make both sports worse.
Yeah. It's not a good situation. I don't like any of it. The Big East is a joke now. It's the big, Pacific Coast as well. They're getting teams from the West. And then this league, when Syracuse and who is it? Syracuse and Pitt. I'm going to get confused. I don't even know who's in what league anymore. But Syracuse and Pitt come in next year.
Right.
And what's going to happen to the AC? The AC tournament, basketball tournament, is what's the saddest affectation of this thing.
Well, they're trying to make it longer than the Big East tournament. The problem is
make it 3 weeks
Greensboro
long.
Or not in New York.
We'll make it 3 weeks long.
It's exactly. Starting on Valentine's Day from now on. Right. Yeah.
So you're telling me that really, I mean, we grew up with it. We fell in love with it. You know, you came from St. Louis. I came from Boston. What's left of the Tobacco Road myth and tradition? Anything?
Well, it's not there. And then when the late, great Art Haman died a few weeks ago, I know I sent you texts about it.
I know. That was...
about legends.
That was one of the worst days in ACC history. Or was it when he came? Was that one of the worst days?
Or best. No. It's kind of sad to watch this, actually. Yeah, the Tobacco Road and the ACC that we knew is no longer exists.
Yeah, and the idea of, you know, still playing a modified conference schedule where it's not a home and home. I mean, to me, even if you have 18 teams in the league or 15, 16 teams in the league, you know, play everybody twice, you still have a few games to play non-conference. And then you don't end up with situations where teams are trying to pad their records early in the season against teams that they can kill, and the crowds are bad. And in Carolina's case this year, you know, they opened the season last night with a win over Gardner Webb, and it's an unusual season because so many guys lost, but it's one where the fans can take a look at the new players and try and figure out, you know, who they are and how they're going to fit in by the end of the year. The bad stat last night to me was 14 assists, 18 turnovers, and Marcus Paige, their new point guard, didn't have a turnover. So that's something that they have to work on. But, you know, and you can see TV is reacting to it by having games on aircraft carriers and hangars in Germany. And how about the game last night in Charleston?
And it was canceled. At halftime, was it?
No, before the game. There was too much moisture on the aircraft carrier.
Well, didn't they play another game that only went a half, and then they stopped playing?
Yeah, the first game, I think, yeah.
Was that because of moisture?
Yeah.
Too?
How could they not know that?
Well, the girls played with moisture.
Right.
And they fight wars. Can you imagine what those sailors?
Careful, Kurt Patrick.
Well, no, but the women's game went on.
Earlier.
Or they have more moisture after that? Well, yeah. I don't get it. Not to mention, can you imagine the sailors on the ship say, hey, we fight wars in the rain on this ship. Why can't they play a basketball game?
Yeah, well, the game in the hangar, I didn't see either team. They're both wearing camo.
I know.
I can't see them all. They were camouflaged. What was that?
I would say give them presidential knee pads and let them play in the, you know, whatever. But anyway, the next era, Curry, you love all the Carolina sports, but you wrote more basketball than anything. We've got legends now that are getting ready in the twilight of their career. We have Mike Krzyzewski. You know, we don't know how long he'll coach, but Roy, thank God he...
Calhoun is gone.
Yeah, thank God.
Boeheim is on his last leg.
He got past the health scare, but Calhoun's
gone.
But
Bernie Fine's back. Bernie Fine.
Who?
Oh,
he's cleared. He's cleared.
He's back. Boeheim may be on his way out, but Bernie's on his way back. So.
Who in your estimation, will there be? You know, we used to say when Norman was here and Lefty and Dean and all that, there'll never be another era to match those guys. Well, there was. Who's the next era of
big dog? Well, I don't know that there is going to be an era. I don't think guys are going to stay as long as these people stayed. I mean, maybe, you know, the guy at Butler seems to be satisfied with staying there. He gets offers every year to go, and he's a terrific coach. But I don't think you're going to see people stay this long ever. Just for health reasons, if nothing else. The game is so stressful now, and you know, I don't see that happening.
Financial security's quick to come for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, they can retire early, like me.
Yeah.
Calhoun actually looked healthy last night.
Yeah, for the first time in about 10 years. It was time for him to go.
And I thought that was tremendous pressure for Kevin Ollie to win that game with Calhoun sitting there unranked against Izzo, the master of the timeout at the end. That was really great. Hey, tell us about how much you love Carolina and how you work Chapel Hill periodically into the Kirkpatrick tour. How does that work? You have a big board at home, like
when I was working, Homeland on the
wall.
Well, when I was working, you know, I would work in games and see who were the good games here and be able to get here all the time on somebody else's dime. That was easy. But now, you know, I live in Hilton Head, so I drive up and see the games and work it around Who concerts. That's what I do.
Exactly.
Now. Work around
and
Bruce or U2 or Stones, you know, whenever. But
I got to tell you a story, Bob Lee. When Curry, I was a little bit younger than him, but I was just out of school writing for a local newspaper, and he would call me up and he would say, "Hey, I'm coming down to do a profile on, you know, the great Ukrainian mystic Denis Weissach or something like that for Sports Illustrated." And he would say, "Hey, I'm going to be working this time, but I'm going to be free this time. Yeah. Are there any parties down there, you know?"
No, wait a minute. No, I'd always call Art to find out what was going on in the area because, you know, he knows everything. And even when I was doing ESPN features when we'd come down and do stuff. You know, we'd call you and have you on air, and you would say anything. I'd tell the ESPN people, this guy knows everything, and he'll say anything.
Yeah,
so we got to get him on air, and I'm sure you got in trouble a lot of times.
You got me. I got in trouble one time when I revealed that in Mac Brown's program over at the football office, they refer to basketball as the B word.
Curry, you'll be pleased to know that Art getting in trouble are still a dynamic duo. The two are inseparable.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. Bob Lee knows a little bit about that territory, too.
Curry, do you know anything about our opponent today? And you've watched Tar Heels a little bit. What do you think of what's going on with Carolina football now? Once we get through this probationary period, are you hopeful that the football program can get back to where it once was under Mac Brown?
Well, you know, as you said, they've had a terrific season. I don't think anybody nationally knows anything about Carolina. I'm kind of puzzled because Bernard's run was one of the high points of the season anywhere. I was sitting at home watching, and unlike you who made a prediction of 40 points, I made a prediction right before the run watching at home on TV. I said, he's taking this back, and we're going to win. Which, you know, you also didn't point out one of the biggest things about that play in that game were, I hate to bring up negatives, but we had lost to Wake, and we had lost to Duke. And now we're about to lose to NC State. That's a disaster.
Curry, we knew that here. We were aware of that going into the last couple of minutes of the fourth quarter.
No, and that was a huge turning point because
but we beat Elon in East Carolina, so we weren't totally at the bottom of the state championship.
No, here's Fedora. Fedora now sits here with a chance to go 9-3 in his first season. And, again, 9 wins we haven't done since 1997. We lose that game, and for a long while in the second half, it looked like we were going to lose that game. Then he's 0-3 in Tobacco Road on his first season.
Well, and after the previous game losing to Duke,
right,
which was a disaster. And, you know, Gio made one of the great plays in that game. I mean, there was some luck involved, obviously, but he's that kind of player. He creates his own stuff, and that was a phenomenal. You know, I was jumping up and down on that one. I said, we're going to win this. And then,
all right, now, Curry, I've got a question for you, because you covered sports nationally, even though everyone knew you were a Tar Heel. And, of course, I'm sure the state people would mention that every time your byline would appear. You know, he's one of them. But you covered it nationally. If you were working for SI now, who had the better game last week, Gio Bernard or the kid for Oregon? He gets 300 yards versus Southern Cal.
Well, that's a hard pick. I don't know. The kid from Oregon, that was astounding.
Okay.
That was phenomenal.
So you're a Heisman voter, which I don't know what you ever were or not, because football wasn't your thing, but who gets a Heisman vote last week between Barner and Bernard?
Well, Oregon is such a high-profile team, and they're undefeated, and Barner's done other stuff throughout the season. You know, Gio isn't in the conversation. I mean, he's not in that USA Today thing that they do. He hasn't been in that yet.
He's not, and amazing. In the ESPN poll this week, he's not in the top 10, whatever it is, but he's not even in the other,
others
in the discussion, which is absurd.
Yeah,
but I think what also hurts him is the rotation of the conference schedule this year, and we don't play either Florida State or Clemson, and both of those would have been high-profile ranked teams, and let's assume he would have had great games against them, but those are the games where you get your votes, not Idaho and Elon.
Well, and because of the scandal and because of the probation, Carolina is not on the national radar football-wise at all, and probably won't be, even if we go 9-3. We're not going to play in a bowl game.
But we're going to play Ohio State in the probation bowl, though. We are.
Is that scheduled
already? Yeah, Bob Lee and I are trying to schedule. We're trying to get a venue right now.
And Butch is going to flip the coin at the pregame.
And we're trying to get, Bubba to turn his head and realize that it's not in the league.
What's the leading candidate for where he's going to land? I can't wait for that.
Oh, we do that. We do that after the break. We hold our listeners until after the break on that one.
Okay.
All right, I got another question for you, Curry. Again, as a national sports writer. Formerly.
Retired on the Who tour.
Yeah, I got you. Now you're Jim Hebner's yard jockey in Hilton Head. All right. Hebner's listening. Hi, Jim. But anyway, about a month ago, I spoke to the Hickory, North Carolina Rotary Club. And I did a joke. And
congratulations.
Big time. And I got a fountain pen, Actually, I got a hickory stick, but that's another story. But anyway, I did a joke, and the punchline of the joke was
that
Jennifer
hickory.
Wiley. Mm-hmm. And out of 140 Rotarians in Hickory, 8 of them knew who Jennifer Wiley was, which showed me that the Carolina scandal goes about 50 miles, and then it fades off. On a national level, you followed it because you were key to North, you Google North Carolina, you do Nexus search for North Carolina. Nationally, does anybody really care who's not a state fan, a Duke fan, or a Carolina fan about the lingering, what do we call the great unpleasantness here?
Well, except for the fact that it hadn't ever happened before. I mean, you know, and you know, puts a big smirch. Is that a word?
Yeah, it's a good word.
Smirch,
it's a good word.
On the program, I think nationally people now will align Carolina with all the other teams that have been, you know, penalized over the years, which is a real bad thing, I think.
Do you think a sports fan in Des Moines or Boulder, Colorado knows about it?
No, they don't care. But so they have Carolina in the same context against the big schools that they always have. But I think what Curry says is really true. Anybody who's an alumnus or followed Carolina and has taken pride in their reputation over the years, you know, it's everywhere from surprising to disappointing to heartbreaking for some of the alumni about that. And whether they're alumni within 50 miles or across the country. Sure. So it's going to be a long time to be able to, you know,
well,
restore that image.
You probably saw the story in SI that Scott Price did on the Penn State situation where he was questioning the Penn State administration guy and he shot back at Price. So you went to North Carolina. Did you take any of those classes that didn't exist? And Scott had to put that in the story.
Right.
To sort of
balance it.
Yeah, to balance the thing and say, and he wrote a little personal few paragraphs about it. So that was a phenomenal moment for me to read that, you know, that this would happen. And but that's what you saying, that's where it goes now. You know, and it's
I got to let's make a more pleasant subject. You and I both share something in that the prettiest uniform in sports is the birds on the bat, right?
Yeah, you're okay. St. Louis guy?
Last year, Game 6, possibly the greatest sports event in the history of planet Earth.
Easily.
There you go. Not Bill Buckner's balls going through his legs with the Red Sox over here.
Yeah, okay.
Game 6 last year, greatest sports event in the history of Earth.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, moving right along. No contention there.
Until Geo's run.
Right.
Yeah. But this, when you spoke at Hickory, you know, you're bringing up Jennifer. Did you also mention Tammy Hansbro down there when you were there?
In fact, I did.
Very nice.
Do. I have a whole set of Tammy and Matt jokes. And I asked if they ever saw Tammy and Matt at the local Ramada Inn eating at Waffle House.
We're going off the air right away, aren't we?
Well, yeah, this is...
20 minutes ago, they cut us off.
That's right.
I did the Hebner remark, it went dark.
I think it's time to go for the break. And when we get back, if we can revive Curry after this session, we'll have him back for a couple of weeks.
And you got a lot more interesting stuff to talk about. I'm Ron Stutz, along with Art C. and Bob Lee and Curry Kirkpatrick. This is our pregame coverage of Carolina and Georgia Tech. They'll kick it off at 12:30 today in Kenan Stadium. Our pregame coverage always brought to you by the Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency. And we are broadcasting live. It's Southern Season. We're about to do the same. Safety dance here at WCHL.
At Southern States Volkswagen of Durham, we're your one-stop shop to find the new Volkswagen or quality pre-owned vehicle you've been looking for. We've got over 200 new Volkswagens to choose from, including Beetles, Jettas, Rutans, and more. And if we don't have it, we'll be glad to find it for you. And with deals like ours, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Get to Southern States Volkswagen of Durham today or visit vwofdurham.com.
You're listening to Carolina Football on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor at Top of the Hill. As smooth as a Dre Bly interception and as sweet as a Carolina victory, Topo Vodka is the perfect complement to your Tar Heel tailgate and victory party. Handcrafted on Franklin Street from only local and organic wheat, Topo is truly the spirit of North Carolina. Ask for Topo Vodka in your local ABC store and fine establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the web at topodistillery.com. Drink local. Drink Topo Vodka. The spirit of North Carolina. Cheers.
Remember the last time you had the flu? Headache, body ache, chills, fever, stuffy nose? Remember how awful you felt? The best way to prevent the flu is by getting a flu vaccine. UNC Family Medicine is here to help protect you and your family from the flu. After all, who wants to feel sick? Call us at 919-966-0210 or visit us at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Renner to Bernard. He'll try the reverse. Flip it to Highsmith. He puts his foot in the ground, and he's heading down the field. Highsmith at the 10. He's at the 5, and did he make it or not? No signal. Yes! Touchdown, Carolina!
Yeah, he made it in there. This is Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Curry Kirkpatrick, our special guest. This is WCHL pregame coverage live from Southern Season at University Mall. I'm Rod Stetson. Art, what you got on your mind?
Well, I know this is the pregame show for Georgia Tech, and we can talk some X's and O's. All I'm telling you is that we got to get the lead, and we can't, while trying to stop the triple option, we can't give up one of those sneaky long passes that Georgia Tech throws. If we get the lead and don't give up a big play, I think we'll be okay. But now we're going to – Curry's such a great guest. We're going to keep him involved in our next segment because there is stuff that he can really – articulate that we can't, because he is on the Kirkpatrick tour. He's on the Kirkpatrick tour that continued with the Who last night in Greensboro.
Boy, did you get that right.
Hey, the Panthers.
The articulation thing.
There's a rumor in Charlotte that the Panthers, are, if they don't give Richardson money to make that a stadium that is equal to the new ones they're building, the Panthers are going to leave. And when L.A. starts throwing money at them, that they could leave. Now, here's a guy who fired both of his sons that were running the team a few years ago, and there's no stated succession plan for the Panthers. Could that happen?
Well, I have no idea. I thought Richardson's spending so much money on psychologists for the quarterback, though. I don't know where he's going to get the money to stay in Charlotte.
Well, he's also has a new ticker that's ticking at this time. So, we don't know what's going to happen in the future.
You
better make a decision fast.
One interesting thing about that is, Curry may not know this, Richardson owns that stadium.
Right.
It is not a city-owned stadium. He built it himself out of Hardee's Hamburgers or Denny's or whatever it is. He owns 100
Hardee's. But in L.A., they'll give him a stadium in L.A. As a matter of fact, it's being built right now. Mm-hmm. And so the point is, he's not going to be around forever, and we don't know who's going to run that team and who's going to make those decisions. But I'll tell you, nobody thought the Hornets were going to leave Charlotte. Nobody. When they hit their peak and they were going to the playoffs and all that. And
well,
another
factor, and we've got to be careful here, as we know, we don't want to get into the P-word politics, particularly this week. But we now have a governor from the state of Mecklenburg, mm-hmm. the Charlotte governor, and how will that play into getting government funds to save the Panthers?
Well, I thought Jacksonville was going to move to
Jacksonville is the first.
And that Iranian's going to move. I mean, he's a Hollywood guy, that guy. He'd be the first guy.
Right, but
to want to move.
Right. There's going to be more than one movement in the NFL, that's what I'm saying. I think the Panthers, they better take care of business one of these days we'll have Dr. Forrest Orion McMixon on to give us the scoop on that. All right, let's go to the Heisman race. We talked before about A.J. McCarron. I personally think that he, in a year that's really up in the air, he put himself right in the race with that last drive on Saturday night.
Yeah, you may be right. I think if perish the thought, Notre Dame goes undefeated, though, I think that Hawaiian kid's going to win.
Mantiotio
is going to give it to him.
How do you pronounce that?
I don't know. But
how many Polynesian linguists do we have in our audience? Stutch, you know this market.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But he doesn't get – he can't win the Heisman Trophy.
He can if they go undefeated.
Who was the last one? Rod Woodson was what?
Yeah, robbed Peyton of it, I think.
The Boston College Eagles are going to rise up and slap down Brian Kelly today.
Do you remember what Spurrier said about Peyton when he decided to come back for a senior year? Spurrier said he wanted to come back to be the first player ever to play in four straight Citrus Bowls.
Well, didn't he say you can only spell citrus with UT? Is that another Tennessee rip?
All right. But speaking of
Tennessee rips, that moves us right into where Butch may go.
Is that the play?
Butch's bag man, Jimmy Sexton, was a manager see all the stuff you learn
right.
by coming back
Sexton.
Here? Jimmy Sexton was a ball boy at Tennessee for Bill Battle or somebody. And he's got all the connections there at Rocky Top. So I've been predicting for 3 weeks that the Butch sweepstakes ends at Rocky Top.
Now, and Petrino to Kentucky? How about that game?
Yeah, I love
that game.
Back to Kentucky, the state that he knows, right?
Petrino against Davis.
But Kentucky says, no, we've got too clean a reputation to take Petrino. Can you imagine this? Kentucky, where Billy Gillespie once coached. Billy Gillespie's back in there.
How about having
Calipari?
Kentucky is very – they segment their cheating. It stops at the basketball. It stops at the basketball arena.
Did you hear about Billy Gillespie this week? That guy is completely nuts.
What do you do now?
It was a whole thing about when he went to the Mayo Clinic and he was supposed to meet with the athletic director. Yeah. So he says, I can't make it. I'm sick. And so he never, anyway, he's denied that he ever did all this stuff. And they've got proof that he did. He did his whole stretch that he got it out at Kentucky. He repeated in Lubbock, thinking, no one's going to catch me in Lubbock, for goodness sake.
Nobody notices anything there. So, okay. So, but you say Tennessee. I think Derek Dooley's done enough to keep his job. Arkansas has a question, but will Jeff Long, will Jeff Long hire Butch after he fired Petrino? Will Arkansas rehire Petrino? Now that's the real story on what happened.
Was it Jimmy Johnson said the other day that Arkansas should hire Petrino back?
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Well, some people here thought we should hire Butch. No, never mind.
Corey, the number one question on Franklin Street is whether Art or I had most to do with Butch no longer being the coach here. We both claim credit.
Who's leading the poll in that one? Who's leading?
That poll is over. That poll is over. All right, how about Auburn? Would Auburn fire Chizik 2 years removed from the national championship?
Yeah. He was a one-cam wonder.
Okay, so one-cam, that's pretty good.
Yeah, the whole SEC is going to have a different, that's at least three schools are going to switch.
Well, I maintain that Butch will be at none of those schools next year.
Where do you think he's going to be?
I don't know, but he will not be at any of those SEC schools. I think it's damaged goods. No way, Jose. All right. Last thing we want to ask. Coaches.
But he didn't do anything. I've heard him say it in a video. He knew nothing. He did the whole Sergeant Schultz thing.
I know, but he's going to be subject to the new NCAA rules that says that you have to know everything, and if you didn't, you're
it's your fault for not knowing.
Exactly.
Since when did he follow rules?
All right. Let's go to the last item here. Coaches on the hot seat. Coaches on the hot seat. We've talked about possibly Chizik. We've talked about Derek Dooley. Who's your coach on the hot seat? Who's your coach on the hot seat?
Well, according to you, O'Brien's gone if he loses this week. Right?
I say, what happens if Jim Mora beats Monty's son Lane? What happens in Southern Cal if Jim Mora, who is right behind, I mean, he's legit now. UCLA, the Bruins are back. Mm. So he beats Kiffin, and Kiffin, that would be three or four losses. They ain't going to be happy with him and Troy.
Yeah, with a...
And he's an obnoxious fellow anyway. Well, what is it this week he did? He deflated balls? Come on, we can have fun with that line.
That's the latest. Pat Hayden, the athletic director at SC, who I know really well, he's a Rhodes Scholar and he's a terrific guy. I don't know why he even hired Kiffin, and I can't believe he's going to let him stay there with all this stuff going on.
So we're saying Lane Kiffin is on the hot seat.
I think if he loses to both Notre Dame and UCLA... Yeah, I think you'd be gone.
All right, I'm going to repeat it. Look east, my man. Look east. The word was that Debbie Yao told T.O.B. before the season, you have to beat Carolina for a sixth time in a row and you have to win the Atlantic. He's done neither. He blew a game in Chapel Hill. If he doesn't beat dear old Wake Forest today, I think he is out of here.
And then Debbie brings in Fat Ralph to take his place.
Well,
is that right?
I don't think we'll go there. I don't know. He's still got too many years.
You've
got
to always have a then, Chansky. You can't just say that happened. And then everything is a conspiracy, Chansky. Come on.
All right. It's time for a break so we can catch our breath.
We all need to breathe really hard.
We're going to come back with the two-minute drill.
We're coming back just a moment. Curry, it's great to see you, number one. Thanks for being on the show. It's Ron Stutz along with Art C. and Bob Lee. This is the Good Sports on WCHL, part of our pregame coverage presented by the Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency in Chapel Hill. We're broadcasting live from Southern Season at University Mall, and we'll be back in just a moment on 97.9 FM WCHL.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor at Top of the Hill. As smooth as a Dre Bly interception and as sweet as a Carolina victory, Topo Vodka is the perfect complement to your Tar Heel tailgate and victory party. Handcrafted on Franklin Street from only local and organic wheat, Topo is truly the spirit of North Carolina. Ask for Topo Vodka in your local ABC store and fine establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the web at topodistillery.com. Drink local. Drink Topo Vodka, the spirit of North Carolina. Cheers.
I'm Kevin Cohan of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Eric White. Hey, Kev, what do you like most about living in Chapel Hill and working at Franklin Street Realty?
Well, Eric, for me, it's really about the people. Before real estate, I spent many years as the general partner of an investment firm interacting with a computer screen. Now, I really enjoy connecting with my clients and brainstorming with the great group of agents at Franklin Street Realty.
I agree. You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life in Chapel Hill, and the second 20 years spent mostly on Hilton Head Island running my marketing company, which specialized in real estate. I finally found my way back home. I love this town. So glad to be a Tar Heel again.
I know what you mean. I spent a few years overseas and in New York, but my heart never left the hill. It's great to know a place like the back of your hand, and it's really cool to be raising my family in the same great town where I grew up.
I hear you. You know, I feel like I am Chapel Hill.
And I am a true blue Tar Heel.
And we are Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Really, why would you?
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Big boy football here, Renner, Bernard, big boy touchdown, Carolina into the end zone to make it 24-7 with the extra point on the way.
We got to play big boy football and big boy touchdowns on the way today, Carolina versus Georgia Tech, Keenan Stadium. I'm Rod Sutz along with Art C. and Bob Lee. All right, you guys coming to the concluding part of the show today.
Well, before we go into the two-minute drill, we had a report. Karen Burns is here, and she told us that she was also at the Who concert last night and confirmed that the Roger Daltrey scream is still as good as ever.
Oh, great.
And he still does swing his microphone, so.
But can you,
along with a few other things.
Can you see the real me? That's the question.
The show with the Who influence. Okay, two-minute drill. Go get started, Ronnie.
All right. How many Carolina fans will claim I was in Keenan Stadium when Gio ran back the punt? What do you think? Over 150,000 or under 150,000?
I say over 150,000.
Yeah, as the legend grows, I don't know if it's 150,000 now, but as the legend grows and because of the way the play and Jones's call can stay alive in the annals of Carolina athletics, could be a half million in a couple of years.
Absolutely.
I was there.
And they'll all have ticket stubs to prove it.
Exactly.
All right, here's a question that's on everybody's mind since last Saturday in particular. What are the odds that Gio has only three games left as a Tar Heels? In other words, is he going to stay at Carolina after this season?
I think if he saw the film of Marcus Lattimore last week, he goes in three, and I don't know that I would blame him. Running backs are like thoroughbred horses; they break a leg, it's all over.
Yeah.
So I think he goes, and I don't blame him.
Well, remember two things about Gio. Remember two things. One is academically he's a junior, which means that he only have to come back for 1 year to get his. And number two, his old man works at a dry cleaners. So remember that. Are those two reasons to go pro? Absolutely.
Yeah, who could blame him? He's one of the best. There's no question about that.
I mean, that's not an indictment on him. That's an indictment on just the system and everything else.
Well, financial rewards are amazing.
It's a selfish thing for us to say he ought to stay another year and lose that opportunity.
Absolutely. If I were in his position, I'm pretty sure I know what I would do. What was the most impressive thing among the 20 or so basketball games on TV last night?
Well, I thought they had just already wiped out the season and given it to NC State as the greatest team in history since the UCLA wooden teams anyway. It's UCLA, Kentucky, and everybody else, isn't it? I mean, NC State, Kentucky, and everybody else.
Well, now that we're bashing the Wolfpack, which we really do on this show,
no.
I would like to say that even though they are number one in the conference in the world and everything else, they weren't on TV, but Carolina was against Gardner-Webb, and so was Duke against Georgia State. So why weren't they on TV, Bob Lee? I thought you were in charge of their TV schedule.
I think they're going to have their own network now, like the Longhorn Network. They're going to have the Woofy Network.
Well,
Jim Goodman is going to finance the Woofy Network over there.
What I say, the most impressive thing that I saw was Kentucky and eight new guys holding off a Maryland team in the Barclays Center. I don't know any of those Kentucky.
Do they still have that guy wearing the J.R. Reed haircut?
Yeah, that's
Nerl. The flat top haircut.
I learned last night that's Nerl's Noel. But
Who names their son Nerls?
Kentucky could win it all again.
Must be related to Gnarls Barkley.
Right, and then Maryland was wearing flannel gray uniforms in honor of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who Ebbets Field is really on the site where the Barclays Center was built. So that was pretty cool.
Who underwhelmed you?
Okay, He's just making this stuff up, isn't he, Ron?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
I was so unimpressed with Florida State and Virginia losing on opening night to South Alabama and Radford. Now, that's embarrassing.
So the Leonard Hamilton at the top era is now in danger. It was a one-year anomaly.
Well, the defending ACC champs went down to Radford.
Well, here's the best part of the day, as far as I'm concerned. That's when we get the chance to hear what you guys think is going to happen in the game today. Bob Lee, what is your prediction for today's Carolina-Georgia Tech game?
Well, I've learned my lesson. First team to 40 is going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, last time I looked, that one worked. I'm going to steal it before Chansky gets to use it again. If Carolina gets to 40, we got another Tar Heel victory.
Is that 40 yards or 40 points against Georgia Tech?
Either one.
No, I think, against Tech, you have to do two things. You have to get the lead, because if you don't, it's playing, the game is like a root canal. So you have to get the lead on them. And then if you can't let them come back quickly with long passes, which they'll sneak on you, right? But I like Carolina by two touchdowns.
And our defense has to watch their knees for the cutback blocks.
Yeah, I think special teams are going to play a big part in today's game too, don't you? And we have been better in special teams than Georgia Tech has.
That's right.
Why do you know stuff like that, Ron?
How do you know? You listen to Jones Angel.
I just pick it out of the air.
Who was Ricky Prohl anyway?
Yeah, well, he caught a lot of passes. I do remember that. Hey, listen, this has been The Good Sports with Art C.
And you want me to reiterate my prediction? I say it's the Tar Heels by 14.
And Bob Lee,
I say Tar Heels 45, Georgia Tech, Rambling Wreck, Yellow Jackets, Bobby Grant Field, whatever, 27.
Oh, you think they're going to score 27 points?
Okay. Well, Art can be heard on WCHL on a regular basis.
All right, I'll see you on CHL, and I'll write you on Chapelboro this week, so take a look.
And you can check out me on BobLeeSays.com and on Chapelboro on Monday morning on Monday Morning Quarterback. Check it out.
Right. Google Bob Lee and check him out. And we're all excited about that. Art?
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see you with a special edition of The Good Sports on Thursday night before the Tar Heels play at Virginia. And we'll be on the air at what? 5 o'clock? You'll be on the air at 5 o'clock?
I don't even know. I think we're going to start at 9.
I'm still giddy from meeting Curry Kirkpatrick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was a great guest. It was good to have him, and we want to thank everybody for making today's show possible. This is Ron Stutz. The Good Sports is heard before every Carolina football game at 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Stay tuned for Carolina and Georgia Tech coming up right here on WCHL.